For those of you that didn't know me, my name is John Artzer, and I'm just going to share my heart and be transparent for a couple minutes before we get in the Word. Is that all right? I've been carrying something for a while now, and I think there's a reason why I'm going to explain what I'm going to explain. Lena asked me to preach this weekend, and some of us, you may know or may not know that Easy's not 100%. He's going through some physical challenges, but he'll be back soon, amen? He's a believer. A lot of pastors are retiring, but Easy's still going strong, still believing for the things of God. And so I was like, you know, when she asked me, we got off the phone, and 5 minutes after we spoke, there's just a word clicked in my heart. There's a reason why I'm telling you. There's just a word that clicked in my heart and that I knew I was going to preach on, but I waited. I waited that night. I waited all that day because, God, I just want Easy to preach. It's not till you can put a check on it, but we need that peace. Paul says, you may have 10,000 mentors, 10,000 instructors, but you don't have many fathers. Just because a preaching gift will never take the place of a spiritual father in your life. You can prophesy, you can preach, you can go around the world, but you need a spiritual father. Paul said, although you may have 10,000 instructors, he didn't say three, he didn't say five, 10,000 instructors, you don't have many fathers. So it's not that I don't want to preach. I just want to get this out of the way. It's not that I don't love you. It's that we need Pastor Easy. You need his peace. You need him because everywhere I go to war. Is Easy still with me? He can be sleeping in bed. I can be in wars praying for people, but what he's put in me is there. And so I just feel like the reason why I say that, I feel like God wants to bring honor to Pastors Easy and Lena in the house. And when I say honor, I'm not talking about honor again. I'm talking about honor that they never had. I'm not to say you guys dishonor them. I know you. You don't dishonor them, but there's a level. How do you honor them? Will you honor them? How you speak about them when they're not there? You honor them by you honor their time. And I'm not talking about anything specific, and I'm not judging you. This is for the house. But when you honor the gift and the person, then you can receive everything that God has given them through them. When the Apostle Paul was on the earth, there was people that said, you're not even an apostle. You know what they received from him? Zero, nada, nothing. Amen? So I just feel like to get that off because I do want to, because it's really, you know, not my turn or whatever. And I struggled with that. And I even put in my phone, I says, fill in for Easy. I didn't say replace. A gift never replaces a man, especially a father. Now, let me ask you a question. If I'm preaching for Easy today, and there was a word that God put in my heart, what do you think that word is? Just take a guess. Faith. And the reason why he did that, because I wasn't really sure. I'm like, no, I don't want to. Pastor Easy needs to preach. And we talked about it. As soon as that word came in my heart, I knew, okay, I'm going to preach. I'm going to fill in for Easy. Faith. But I want to look at it a different angle, and it's faithfulness. You know, week after week, church after church, pastor after pastor, sermon after sermon. Pastors are like lawyers. They're trying to convince people that God is faithful. And people come in with scales in their heart, and they weigh God. Is God faithful? Does he really have a purpose for my life? Does he really have a destiny? Did he do that bad thing? And, you know, I go, God, what if you could say something to the people, what would you say? And he simply said, it's not me. I'm not the one that hurt you. I'm not the one that abused you. I'm not the one. But people come in with scales in their hearts. And they weigh God, and he's weighed. And sometimes I feel like a lawyer, always trying to convince people, no, he's good. You know, there's a church I'm thinking of, good God, bad devil, over and over and over again, through different sermons, different ways. They're always trying to convince the people. But today, I just feel like God wants to get off the scale. And what he wants to put on the scale is your faithfulness. And really the question, I am, when Moses says, who sent me? He says, I am that I am. The self-existent one sent you. When Jesus was on the earth, they said, you know, he says, before Abraham was, I am, and he picked up, and they picked up rocks to stone him. Why? Because they knew exactly what Jesus was saying. He was saying, I am God. So we just need to settle. I am is faithful. That's not really the question. The question is, am I faithful? Am I faithful? Now, notice I didn't say, are you? We're going to do this together. We're going to walk this through together. I believe God's going to do something this morning. The anointing's here to change lives, to heal hearts. We're going to look at our words, our worries, and our wounds. Our words, our worries, and our wounds. It affects how you see God. See, let's take God off the scale. In Daniel, there was a king named Belshazzar, and his dad was Nebuchadnezzar, and Nebuchadnezzar did bad things, and God corrected him. Amen? He didn't destroy him. He corrected him. He was in his right mind, and Belshazzar knew that, but yet he took the cups that were made for the temple, and he used them, and then there was a writing on the wall. And then no one could discern the writing on the wall. And Daniel discerned it. And he says, you've been weighed in the balances and found light. And God wants you to put yourself, your faithfulness. I'm not talking about your past. I'm not talking about your sins. God this morning wants you to put your faithfulness on the scales and you to ask your question, am I faithful? Am I faithful? Am I faithful not on Sunday when Lena says yes, the fire is talked about? That's awesome. I'm talking about a Monday and Tuesday. What are your words? What are your worries? And what are your wounds? Am I faithful? See, you establish that I am. Sermon after sermon, series after series, pastor after pastor. They're always trying to convince the people God is good. He is for you. He has a purpose for your life. If you come forward, he'll forgive you of all your sins. There's people that think he won't forgive me, and they walk out unclean. Always trying to convince. Sometimes I feel like I'm a lawyer. Here's the evidence. And they read scriptures. He saved Daniel out of the lion's den. He brought Joseph out of the pit. He brought the Israelites at the Red Sea. Oh, God is good on Monday. But the question is, am I faithful? When you establish God is faithful, the question is, am I faithful? Notice he didn't say, Belshazzar, God is on the balance. He says, you have been weighed on the balances. And so this is not a condemning message, okay? This is not, are you faithful? No. Ask yourself, am I faithful? Because A plus B equals C, and A never changes. The Alpha, the Omega, the first letter in the Greek alphabet, and A is our first letter. B is the variable. Friends, you are the variable. A is consistent, you with God who never changes, and your faithfulness equals C, everything he's promised in your life. And see, Lena talked about how, you know, finishing strong, and, you know, there's a scripture, and, you know, God always has the remedy. Because when I look at my life, there's areas where I'm not faithful. I'm not up here perfect. This is not for you, this is for us. We're going to walk this together. This is God gently putting us on the scales. And the hands that put you on the scale are scarred. They know rejection. They know hurt. They know God himself came down to his creation and he was rejected. He knows pain. So it's not a judgment thing. It's not like the bell, but there's a scale and your faithfulness is light. Do you say the same thing on Friday as you say on Sunday? Yes, we're going to go through the fire. Yes, we're going to be stirred up. What are your words? Now, when I say words, I'm talking about the words you speak to yourself inside too. Because when you think in words. You think in words. I'm no good. I'm not clean. You know, I'm the best. You know, you know, all these things. You think in words. But do your words line up with what he said over your life? Do your words line up with what he's written? You know, when we say rhema and logos, we think, oh, the written word and the spoken word. But it's more than that. The written word can be rhema to you. I mean, you can read, you know, different theologians go, that was meant for this, but you can be, I remember I was reading one time, Joseph was like a fruitful vine over the wall, and the archers bitterly shot at him, but they didn't. I read that, and God, I started to weep, and the Spirit came, and God, that was for me, that was a rhema. The logos became rhema, and that's what God wants for your life. What he speaks over your life, what you read to be rhema. You know, he says in Samuel, he says, then I will raise up for myself a faithful priest who shall do according to what is in my heart and in my mind. I will raise up for myself a faithful priest. And he wants a faithful people. Am I faithful? The I am is faithful. A is established. The B is the variable. And so how are we unfaithful? Well, we're unfaithful in our words. And really that comes from our wounds and our worries. What we worry about and what's wounded us comes through our words. Ephesians 4:23. The Bible says, and be renewed in the spirit of your mind. This word renewed, it's probably used one time in the Bible. See, when the Bible was written, it was not written with English in mind. God is not an American. And the English language is very limited when you're trying to do Greek and Hebrew. The Bible was not written for English in mind. It was written for the human heart and mind. Because he's not an American. And the English language is very limited. That word renewed is not, like it says, renew your mind. That is not to take something and make it better in a state. That word renewed has to do with time. It has to go back and be young again. Why is that? Why is that? Why is that? And be young in the spirit of your mind. Why is that? Why is that? It was before the hurt, before the pain, before the disappointment. Because soon as the preacher's preaching and he's trying to say God is good, in people's hearts they're saying, objection, I was abused. Objection, my brother died. Objection, I didn't work out. Objection, I prayed for them and I got sick. But they don't say it. It's in their heart. They weigh God. He's faithful or he's unfaithful. But am I faithful? To go back and be young again. See, I love youth. I love zeal. That's good. When a 22-year-old has zeal, that's awesome. But what's a miracle when Pastor Easy is still blaming for a healing revival? See, it's what Lena goes, it's, you know, when I first came here, they said, John, this person did this. This person did this. This person did this. And I always ask the same question after every name. I always ask the same question. Same question. It was always the same question. I always asked, what are they doing now? What are they doing now? God has not called you to have 4 good years or 5 good years or 6 good years. He hasn't called you to do 1 good mission trip. He hasn't called you to write 1 big check. He hasn't called you to just 1 business, 1 this, 1 that, 1 prophetic word, 1 encouragement. What are they doing now? Go back, be young again in the spirit of your mind. Use 1 time in the Bible, that's all you need. This is what one commentary, because see, when I study this, sometimes I get more of the words. It's not to read 1 commentary, because no one man has it all. But when you start reading it, then things come alive, because you can read the scripture and God can put it this way, and next week he can do this way. It's like a diamond, you can change it as long as the substance is not changed. You can't change the substance. It has the temporal sense of belonging to the present moment, and so new, not previously existent. It's not like renewing a car. It's like building one from scratch to be young again. Because who has the most zeal and who has the most abandonment? Children. Now, I'm not going to say every children. I'm not looking at anybody. But most kids, when they go to McDonald's Playlands, they're not going, it's germy, it's loud, it's crowded, I hate it, there's snot on the swing. Most kids just want to play. Why? Because it says here, this is what it says. It says, Moses commonly used, chief, and blah, 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 all this. And it has to do, see, the words they use in the Greek and the Hebrew also were used at the time. They were not pulling words out of the air. It was words people knew. And the way they used it was to designate the age range of use from 20 to 30 compared to other age ranges. It was age range. Why? It was before the pain, before your wound, before your worries. Before it changes your words. I mean, I did not grow up in a Christian home. I'll just tell you a funny story. I mean, I love my dad. I got to look at things from my dad, but I did not get salvation from my dad. When God called me, he did not ask my dad, is it okay if I call John? The purpose over your life was not from a board meeting or a church or a pastor. It's from heaven. And the three agreed, the Father, the Son, the Holy Spirit. He has a purpose and destiny for your life. Didn't ask your family, doesn't look at your genealogy. When he called me, my dad did not like it. Well, my dad was kind of angry. He would throw tools and yell. Well, I thought that every dad did that. I thought that was normal. It was not until I was in high school. You guys listen to me. High school. I was at a friend's house. His dad was a Mormon. He was working on the car. He was frustrated. He was getting ready to cuss, so I thought, and he didn't. And these were the words in my head. I thought all dads did that. Why? Because experience taught me that's way. So then when you come, you say, God's a good father. He's a loving father. What do you have? Experience tells you different, and you say, objection in your heart. But this is before the experience, to be young again in the spirit of your mind. Not to say your mind has a spirit, but the spirit that controls your mind. Say, you know, when you pray for the sick, God pray for them. You don't have the objection, but I prayed for the last one and they died. See, and it's not that you don't have the memory of it. You don't have the sting of it. There's a difference. It's not like we go, I don't know anything happened yesterday. I don't know what I'm supposed to pay Alan and rent. A dollar? Because then he would remind me. Julia, can you come up here, please? Thank you, and play the keyboard, because we're not going to go real long. I believe God wants to do something, though. Because here's what happens. We preach, and then we go weigh yourself, and then some do, some don't. I believe God wants to do that now. I believe God wants us to weigh us now. You weigh yourself, I weigh mine. This is not about your spouse or your neighbor or your friend. Am I faithful? Do I say the same thing on Friday as I do Monday? Am I young in my spirit, or do I have a lot of objections? Does when God speaks a promise over my life, is it that I worry that he can't bring it to pass because experience told me? And what's the biggest elephant in the room? Time. So when you go young again, you're not thinking about time. You can run to your Father. So just close your eyes. And I'm not trying to create something. I'm not trying to create something, but he's here to do a deep work. Am I faithful? So God, we forgive ourselves, and we ask for forgiveness for judging you, for putting you on the scale, saying, are you faithful? God, we're sorry. So this afternoon, we put ourselves on the scale, and God, we say, ask, am I faithful? God, do we say the same thing you say 3 weeks later, 10 years later about the prophetic word? Ah, to be excited is easy for a moment. But the zeal of the Lord has no expiration date. Just ask yourself, am I faithful? And let God show you the areas. Because he wants to heal the wound. take care of the worries, so it changes your words. What you say to yourself and what you say to others. Oh, we've tried that. We've done that. We've had another revival. Oh, that happened one time. So, Holy Spirit, I thank you. You know, the cross was an event that happened, but the power of the cross goes throughout eternity. So I thank you, Jesus, for touching your people, for taking away the wounds. And God, if you could say one thing, what would you say? It's not me. It's not me, the one that caused the pain and the hurt. It's not me that made him get a divorce and made your father hate you. It's not me. I'm faithful. I'm faithful. I'm faithful. Just think about how what you tell yourself. And I'm not talking about on Sundays. I'm not talking when we talk about the sermon or the message or the worship. I'm talking about on Wednesdays when you're in your bed by yourself. I'm talking about on Thursday. I'm talking about when you think about the church or your life or your destiny. Or when someone else gets married and you think, when's my turn? Or someone else gets blessed financially. God, I thank you. Every promise you've spoken is yes and amen. And it's just as true today. And God says so many things, so many ways. It doesn't make it more true. It's just to encourage us. So he's saying, come, my children, come. So you can get off the scale and get in his arms. Be young again in the spirit of your mind. To be young again in the way you think. To be young again to go, yes, we can. Yes, I see a revival wave. Yes, I see the healing. Yes. Instead of saying an objection, I've heard that too many times. That's what they told Martin Luther King before his greatest speech, I Have a Dream. They told him, don't say I have a dream. You've used it too many times before. It's trite. And he's speaking and he hears a voice behind him and it's winding down. He was the last speaker. He heard a voice behind him saying, tell him the dream, Martin. Tell him the dream. So you said it too many times. How many times are you going to say healing revival? How many times are you going to say thousands and thousands of young people? How many times are you going to say millions of dollars coming through for orphanages and churches and kids to eat? How many times? And there was 400 years between the old and the new, and nothing was happening, so many thought that's it. Did God lie about the Messiah? Hundreds of prophecies and 400 silent years, and it was the silent years. But then there was crying in a manger. What's the cry of your heart? There's nobody that lived a significant life in the kingdom without going through tests and trials and questions. Not a one. Not Wesley, not Finney, not Graham, not Hill. Name them all. Not a one. From John the Baptist to Apostle Paul to Peter, they all had questions. It's not having questions, it's staying there. It's moving out of the accusations of God and moving into the faithfulness of Him. I'm going to close, but if you want prayer, if you've never received Jesus Christ, if you've never been born again, you can come up. If you want prayer for any other reason, or if you just want to come up and let God deal with your heart, wherever you want, the rest of you I'm going to dismiss. The band can get their instruments. It's not going to mess anything up. But you decide when you're ready, when you've answered the question. And the area that he points out, let him deal with it. Don't be so quick to run off. Let him touch you. Let him deal with it. Because he always has the remedy. Jesus always has the remedy. He never says, I don't know, I can't help you. He always has the answer because he is the answer. He never sends you somewhere else. He says, just come closer to me. The God of Abraham, the God of Isaac, the God of Jacob. He's a personal God. He didn't say the gods of the families. He mentioned the names. He has a purpose and destiny over your life. He knows you specifically before the foundation of the world. He didn't say the God of the first generation, second generation, third generation. He said God of Abraham, the God of Isaac, the God of Jacob. He knows your name. He knows your purpose. When people come and they prophesy things over your life, that's not from them. It's from God. We say, oh, they're so awesome. That's such a gift. No, it's such a good God. Oh, how anointed and gifted they are. No, do you know the voice behind it, the Father who gave them the word? They would have nothing to say if he didn't say, say it. So, Lord, I thank you. You are good. You are faithful. Lord, let us never put you on the scale of our hearts. No, let us never question you, God. It's not you, God. It's not you. It's us. It's us. All of us are briars and thorns compared to Jesus. But with Jesus, we can believe. And the same man that denied Jesus three times preached the first sermon of the new gospel of Pentecost. And for every one denial, there was over 1,000 salvations. Over 3,000 were saved. Oh, that's a funny word. Three times denied, 3,000. For every one denial, for that pain, for that hurt. Now you can pray for people. Now you can care. Now you can cry before. So I thank you for all things work together for good. Even though they're not good, they work together for good to those that love you and are called according to your purpose. And whatever broken fish and broken piece of bread we can put in your hands, you can bless it, break it, give it, and multiply it away. And it could feed. And there's the little boy. There's the little boy. There's the little boy. Just one little lunch. There's a little boy watching his food go around to the masses. It was just one lunch. One abuse. One addiction. One thought that you were no good. One bad father. And saw the multiplication go around and around and around. And he could say, that's my food. There he was eating, watching his food being multiplied. Over 5,000 men. Men. 15,000 to 20,000, they estimated. There's a little boy watching. They ate till they were full. It didn't run out till they were done eating. And Jesus said, gather up the fragments so nothing is lost. And every fragment and broken piece in your life, he will gather up to use. He didn't say throw it away. And all the scars will be healed, but one in heaven that will be on Jesus. His piercings will be forever. So, Lord, I thank you for touching our worries and our wounds so it changes our words. And may our faithfulness line up with yours because you are faithful. And God, we want to say, am I faithful? We want to be able to say, yes, Lord, we are faithful. Because who can find a faithful man? Oh, they exist. Because you can make us faithful, God. It's a gift from you. It's not because we're awesome, we're powerful, because we know the word. It's because of you. So you guys are dismissed. If anybody wants prayer, then come up.